Hey everybody, welcome to Beer and Bible. This is Chris, the guy starting the podcast. And Neil, what are you drinking tonight?
Hey everybody, I am drinking Athletic Brewing Company's Freewave Hazy IPA.
Ooh.
And as someone that doesn't drink, I don't know what I'm getting into. Funny enough, Cynthia was another person who sent me on to this, and the Childers family. They're okay. The ones that were like, you should try this.
I was
like,
sent right. You down the dark path.
Yeah. I don't know if it's... This is not a dark beer, though, right?
No.
Okay. I'm showing my ignorance here. I don't know how to describe things. So to me, this tastes like... hold on. Let me take a sip here.
Ooh.
It tastes like a grapefruit, like, tea. That's almost like...
fairly accurate.
I don't know anything. I am so ignorant in your ways.
Also, for the crowd out there, it is an NA beverage.
Oh, yes, yes.
It is a non-alcoholic beer. It actually looks pretty good. I almost grabbed it out of the fridge the other day. I was looking, and I was like, ooh, hazy IPA. Let me find out. And it said NA. I was like, wah, wah. Nope. And I grabbed the voodoos that were in there.
That's a good choice.
So an old man stuck in my ways. So, yeah, to reiterate... or to track back, welcome to Beer and Bible. We're doing another one of our tangents tonight. So, things we have talked about, things I have scribbled in my notepad, aka Bible.
Yes.
I remember something they really pumped into us, other than pizza and songs. You should never add or take away from these texts.
That comes from the book of Revelation.
My favorite. The end of everything.
Yeah.
It was always like taboo to like write in a Bible or do anything. Like some Bibles would have the notes in the back. Mm-hmm. And even like my parents would never write in those.
Oh, wow.
Like the pages in the back is like you just don't write in the Bible. But now I've gotten accustomed to writing in the Bible. So I like put little notes here and there. Which makes me happy.
We were all like, you should underline and highlight everything.
Yeah. So, well, see, that was okay. That was okay.
Oh.
It was like writing things. Okay. Yeah.
Drawing a dragon with seven penises is...
Could have been anyone.
It could have been anyone
could've, who did okay. that. Not necessarily me. But two of the things noted in one of our past episodes. One was Mormons.
Okay.
We touched on the Mormons.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you guys, whoever's listening, I don't know what your experiences are, but we fucking love Mormons.
Yes.
We love our brothers and sisters. It's all brothers.
You have sisters.
Oh, yeah. We have. Yeah. So,
the problem was we were the problem. Let's start with that.
We are always the problem.
But
there's a control. And that's us.
Yes.
We're always the problem. Well,
we had sisters that would show up, and then they would learn very quickly, like, we were not the people to, we were not really the people that you would proselytize to.
Yes.
Like, you could come and hang out, and you can tell us, like, hey, this is our belief on this passage, and here's this, like, 100% open, we want your perspective, we want your thoughts. But if you want us to change our thoughts,
you're in the wrong.
If you've been listening to this, hopefully, I don't know, that sounds really weird, but I almost want to be like, hey, hopefully we've opened your mind, but hopefully we're also not changing your mind.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It was really cool. So for when we started Beer and Bible, it's a very small thing. And then, but somewhere along the way, it was your fault. 100%, it was you who brought the Mormons in.
No.
Was it me?
No. It was Maria.
Maria. Oh, God. I fucking miss Maria. She was amazing.
So Maria met these Mormon elders and invited them to come to a Beer Bible.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
It was kind of like a safe space because I think the first, how many years? Like first year or two? Because it became a thing where, I mean, I hope we won't name drop or anything, but like it became this safe space where it's like they started passing it on to each other. They're like,
yes.
Hey, if you're in Salem or Roanoke, Virginia, check out this place at this time. Like you said, you're not going to convert anyone, but like you can go, you can sit, no one's going to judge you, and you can literally talk about what we believe and no one's going to talk. Just in an open forum, open discussion place.
Yeah,
like,
we're not going to debate you. We're not going to
try
and change your mind. You're not going to change our mind, but we could have a lot of great conversations.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were having a tangent night and some of the missionaries were there and one of the guys was just like, hey, can you tell me about this? And it was awesome because if you are a missionary, I don't know if any missionaries are listening right now, and you are going door to door, wouldn't you like it if somebody came to you and said, can you tell me about your belief on this?
Yeah.
Like openly.
Yeah.
Just wants to know. And you don't have to knock on their door and they're not attacking you. Like, it was a great place. And they'd be like, can we come by your house? Yeah, sure. And be like, or no, thank you. But love to see you at the next thing.
I can't remember how many, there were at least one or two occasions where we'd be talking about something or they would bring something up and I like would specifically be like, man, that sounds pretty wild. And they're like, yeah, it does. And, but then on the other side, we'd be talking about something out of the Old Testament. And it's like, that's fucking crazy. And they'd be like, yeah, it is. It was like a family. Because I always remember my first interactions or my first, the things I saw at first were like, and maybe like some of our people from like Mormon church have experienced, I'm sure they've experienced this where it's like, you know, you go in a fan, like my dad used to do this all the time. Love you, Dad. Hopefully you never listen to this, but he would bring him in and be like, they'd knock on the door and be like, yeah, come in, come in. He bust out the Bible and just start trying to like drill him on stuff. And it's like, that sucks. Like, man, these are like, regardless of what you believe, these are like young adults, 19 year olds going to a place. They have no fucking clue where they're at. And they're going and knocking on doors. That, for me, would be, like, the most anxiety, like
producing.
That would be, like, Armageddon for me, just in the first place. Just going and knocking on a random door and then trying to, like, convert someone. Like, I'd feel better being an Amway salesman. Like, back in the day, trying to be like, buy out of this catalog of obscure, overpriced things.
Like, at least you're giving them something they might want, rather than like, hey, exactly. Do you want to change your entire religion?
So my dad would bring them in and like try to school them on like the Bible, and I'm just like, like he would bring them in acting nice, and then like,
One of my favorite things is like, is all of our listeners know that no matter what my belief is or your belief is, I have really no desire to force feed anything.
Yes.
So the missionaries got really comfortable with me. And I remember one time they went over to an elder of a church, former elder of a church, brought them in, brought out Revelation and pointed to the verse that says, you shall not add or take away anything from this text. And it was great because then they're like, hey, could you come over here and just be like, hey, can you read the Greek here for us? And it was wonderful because there was this understanding and trust of, okay, they understood that I have a better understanding of the Christian New Testament than they do.
Yeah.
And that's not their fault because I spent 4 years studying this and they are 18, 19, 20 years old, just got out of high school. And it's not a fair, I'm going to say like, it's not a fair fight to pit an 18-year-old Mormon missionary against Neil, the Bible nerd.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that if I was an 18-year-old Bible nerd, I would not be good next to, you know, a 26-year-old Mormon Bible nerd, you know?
Yeah, it's just, exactly. It's uneven ground.
It's just an age / experience. It's not really age, just experience.
Yeah.
And, but because I'm so low, like, I just don't care. Yeah. I really do not care about a specific theological point.
Yeah.
So when they said, hey, could you come over here and just read this and help me understand what this is saying? And they're not asking me to prove or disprove anything.
There's going to be no prejudice. There's going to be no like judgment. Like you're basically sitting there as like a Encyclopedia Biblitanica, like somebody, because that's the cool thing about like what we do is just like, there's no judgment. Like, let's just look at it as what it is. It's not saying like, hey, I'm going to tell your little Mormon ass what like the real Bible says. No, it's just like, this is what the text says. Do with it what you will.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I ended up like, I think supporting their argument.
Yeah. Yeah. So, exactly,
which really like that, like they're not asking.
You almost look at the other person like, ooh, should have prepped, bud. Like,
well,
or just kind of like, yeah, there's no,
I guess for me is like, I guess armed this Mormon missionary to go back to the elder. The elder of a church, not an elder of the Mormon church, an elder of a Protestant evangelical American Christian church. But if you had a stupid argument, like I probably have more in common with the American evangelical Protestant elder of the church, but he had a stupid argument.
And that's not correct.
That's
the whole thing is like, it doesn't matter what I believe on this. It's what is like what the text says, what the scripture says. Like you, if you bastardize it, then you deserve to be called out. Like regardless of,
I've been known to care more about a form of an argument than a content of an argument. I think I'm more annoyed by people I agree with that say stupid things to get there than I am with people I disagree with that have
rational,
like, arguments.
Rational, like, arguments or like,
And another thing about something, now I'm going to talk about me for a little bit more, but
do it.
I rarely say this is right and this is wrong, but what I do say is this is a weak and a strong argument. If you listen to the past month, we've talked about, hey, some people believe this, some people believe that. Some people take it this way, and some people take it that way. And
if you listen to us, this should not be surprising.
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
So when our missionary friends come over and they're like, hey, here's our take on this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. Like, I may agree with it, might not agree with it. Not really important to me. What I am glad about is you got a place to hang out with a bunch of crazy people that are not, like you said, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to hate on you. We're not going to
get a break from the day because, I mean, what they do is grueling, man. Like, I wouldn't, like, even if you're in an area where you're, say, like, same area, you're not Mormon, but you're Southern Baptist, and you walk around, you're still going to get the same treatment. Or you're still going to be people slamming doors in your face and be like, get the fuck out of here. So to be Mormon, people kind of have a stigma already, like, or just in our specific region, because I'm sure there's places where they don't even know what that is, like, but then in our region of, like, very southern, a lot of this is Pentecostal or Baptist or, like, or Methodist, like, it's this whole, like, denomination is king here, like, we all say everybody else is fucking stupid. Or not, I shouldn't say we all, they all, sorry, they all say the other one's wrong already within Christianity. So to have someone come from outside of those groups and try to say something.
Yeah, that would be
that's quite rough. And so for them to come to our place, and you could tell when they came, and we're still, Neil, I'm sure too, like we have friends on, like, at least with through Facebook that we still keep up with some of these missionaries that used to come through, and like it's cool watching, like, seeing what they're doing. A lot of them came from the other side of the country and what they're doing, and they're great people, like, despite what you might think of. And even I think, especially going back to my experiences, my personal experience growing up in Christianity and seeing the interactions, is like, I think the believers or Christians, quote unquote, in our area probably treated them worse than someone who had no religious background. Just from my personal experience, what I saw was like not treated them worse, but were more contentious or more.
Do you think it's because of the religious battleground that is?
Yes, whereas 100%.
Somebody who has no religious thing, you come and be like, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. Like, no thanks.
Exactly.
That's usually what I would see is like, I remember I've talked to a couple times to people that are not interested in even beer and Bible. It's like, yeah, that's not for me. Like, not even listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Just.
Oh, and remember when we went to breakfast?
Yes.
At the Mormon church?
Yes.
Or one of them here in town?
Yeah.
And everybody there was so fucking nice.
Yes.
I have never had any one within like the Mormon church denomination, or like church, we'll just say, I'm trying to think, like, is it a denomination? Is it, but it's
no,
whatever.
Yeah, church.
I've never had any one Mormon say anything mean to me ever. Not once.
Yeah.
Or like, and then again, they came, they brought us in, fed us breakfast, like, or we got invited. And this shit was awesome. And everybody was like, oh, hey. Who are you? Nice to meet you. Awesome. They didn't say like, oh, what church are you from? Where are you from? Do you believe in what we believe? It was never any of that shit. It was just like, hey, and then we ate breakfast and we left.
Yeah,
or at least I did. I just left. Like, there wasn't any, they didn't sit you down and do a play or like ring bells or anything.
Or like give a message about why you should believe. And like, did you know you're going to Mormon hell if you don't believe
this? Right. There was nothing. I was like, fuck, this is why they get so many people in here. And also, I'm not...
Didn't our friend Abby one time have them rake her lawn, and that was it? Like, they came up, they knocked on her door, like, hey, can we talk to you about, and she said, no, thank you. And they're like, well, can we do anything for you? She's like, yeah, rake my lawn. And they did.
I'll have to double check with my assistant, but yes, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Like, I feel like if Christians did that, we'd be like, we'll rake your lawn if we can give you a sermon about Jesus afterwards.
They rake repent into your leaves on the front lawn. No, if nothing else, hey, next someone knocks on your door, like, say what's up. Like, just you know, you don't have to let them. They're not vampires. I mean, they might be. I don't think so, but that could be. I might be a vampire. So maybe don't invite them across the threshold, but tell them they can come in for a minute.
Yeah. Be safe about it.
Be safe.
Practice safe invitations.
But we love Mormons. I don't know why. I guess whatever we were talking about, I wrote down Mormons, and I was like, fuck, I love those guys.
Me too.
I love me some Mormons.
I'm going to give you an insight into what I do about people calling. So we were talking about this idea of annoying Christians that are like, I'm going to shove something down your throat kind of thing. Like, yeah. I'm going to get it. So this is me. I started realizing when I was getting like sales calls and things, I'd be like, hey, I'm willing to listen to you talk to me about insurance and things if you're willing to talk about Jesus Christ with me. I will tell you, majority of the time, people hang up so fast. So one time a call center did that to me, and they put me over to this insurance guy. He's like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, hey, well, so-and-so said I could talk to them about Jesus. The guy and the insurance guy who's in locally in the Roanoke area goes, oh, well, I'm not him. That comes from a call center. And it's just like, in other words, it's a national call center. You say you want to talk about insurance. They connect you to your local agent, the person in the area. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll give you the same deal I gave him, which is I will talk to you about insurance as long as I can talk to you about Jesus Christ. He goes, well, I don't want to talk about that during business hours. Well, it's like, oh, well, do you want me to? And this is funny. I'm now forgetting like the situation I'm in. I'm just so in the conversation. So this is me. You know, if I was messing with people, I would tell you.
I 100% believe.
I would tell you if I was messing with them. But at this point, I say to him, that's okay. Do you want me to call you after hours? And he goes, I don't give out my personal number. And I said, this is my personal number. And he hung up on me. And then I realized what I like.
Touche.
But I do that. I will say I found like that is also, guys, if you had me on the phone, if you're like living out your day and you had me on the phone and I was going to tell you about Jesus, you would have a good time. Like, you don't realize.
It would end up like this, like what you're listening to right now.
You would bring up something about Jesus and I'd be like, did you know that? And like, I'd be.
Yeah, that was stupid, but listen to this.
It would be really fun. I will say one time I like, so that was an earlier time. And then one time I was walking through Sam's Club and these guys were trying to sell phones. We're like, hey, can we talk to you about this phone? And I said, same thing. If I can talk to you about Jesus. And they go, okay. I had not thought that far ahead.
You're like, shit.
But at the same time, I was like,
I have so much. I haven't gathered these thoughts.
Right. I just like, I need to find a better way of starting this conversation, be ready. But that was fun because then they told me about the cell phone. I like, this was the deal. You and I made a deal where I'm going to let you tell me about the cell phone and I'm going to ask you about options and we are going to have a legitimate conversation where I do want to hear if you have a deal that fits better for my needs.
Right.
And I fully engaged and was present in that conversation. And then after we finished that, then I got to tell them about about my understanding of Jesus.
6 hours later, the store's closing.
No, it wasn't that long.
You know what's funny is like after all those exchanges, like they were very.
You're talking about the Mormons, right?
Our Mormon brothers, going back to them, it was like they would talk about things. Because, again, our group was very open and just like, hey, this is confusing or this makes no fucking sense. And they would actually, I'm not going to put anything out here that we talked about, like, into the internet. But, like, they would bring up things every once in a while. I'd be like, hey, this was crazy, too. Like, this is what our book says, and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, because they knew that that's where you're at, too. Like, hey, this doesn't make us believe less. The fact that we don't understand something fully, or the fact that we're still trying to understand something we believe in this text, doesn't make the whole thing illegitimate. You know, yeah. We're trying to work through it. And that was cool that they, I felt like they were comfortable enough where even within their own stuff, they would bring out some things that were like, probably we're the only ones that probably have ever heard that yeah. conversation. You know, we're probably the only ones outside the Mormon church that have ever had that conversation with a Mormon.
Yeah, we're probably the only ones outside of some YouTube channels mm-hmm. that are either Mormon apologists really trying to prove the point, or people who've left the Mormon church yeah. and go, let me tell you about how right. stupid my belief system is, which is probably a small minority of the amount of Christians out there
yeah.
telling you how awful the Christian church is.
Like, here's
when I say Christian church, I mean... Yeah, I would say we had a large umbrella, but I'm yeah. saying from my perspective of anti-evangelical Christian yeah, is gotcha. What I'm thinking. Yep.
So yeah, there. I gotta say I got a lot of love for, you know, if one knocks on my door, like where I'm at now versus what I grew up seeing, like I love those motherfuckers.
I'm with you. If I have the time, like I definitely yeah, want to.
You don't
to
always
just...
have the time because that's something else too. Because they are, and that's something else that's kind of crazy too. Is they send you out in the world. Like, God, dude, when I was 18, 17, 18, 19, whatever, and I was knocking on doors, bro, I'm not like I would not be the one. I'm not who I am today back then. You know what I mean? Like, I would not have the confidence or the experience. Like, I got to give just a hats off just to that, to go just put yourself in those places. And some of the places they had to go, like, they had to go. We love our people up in West Virginia, but, like, they had to go to some, like, places in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I think about that. I mean, a couple things. I feel sorry for the guys that ended up in Lynchburg. Lynchburg, Virginia is where Liberty University is. Everyone goes to church.
Drew used to call it Lunchbox.
Okay, Lunchbox. Okay, so.
But also, if we have fans in Lynchburg, we love y'all.
Yes.
And we have no problems with Liberty.
But if you're a Mormon missionary and you have to go to this place that has a tower, like a Christian tower of Jerry Falwell, like this massive, you should have such a huge community of people who are very much against what you stand for and believe that you are a cult, that would be really hard to step into. So I remember hearing about trips going there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
One of the guys I was in graduate school with, like actually he and I were tight.
Yeah.
We were in international development together. I don't know if he's listening. Anyways, he was a missionary in Taiwan. And so having to learn a language to then go door to door and in Mandarin Chinese try and explain your belief system to somebody else.
Just this concept, because you'd probably be hard pressed to find at least one in five people is going to know who Jesus is in America, in North America.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe something like that. The ratio is real good. It's going to be hard to find someone who hasn't at least heard that name or doesn't know what Christianity is or doesn't have some like brush with Christianity. But yeah, if you go to China, even trying to or
Taiwan
or Taiwan. Trying to explain just the concept of what it is. Oh, there's this guy who went around. He's dead now, but back in the day, he used to like...
He was in the Middle East. Yeah. Then he went to America for a little while.
If he had
while.
A demon, he'd get it the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'd sell it. I mean, I might have different approaches. I might be more effective in Taiwan. You never know. Like, you got demons? You know anybody that's got demons? I can tell you how to get them the fuck out. I can't, but I can tell you a guy who knows a guy who heard of a guy who's dead who can get them the fuck out of you.
I'm just imagining you and I, if we were missionaries.
I brought my hands together.
Years.
I got some cards. Look, you got demons. You got boils. You got STDs. We can't do anything about the STDs. But if you want to get rid of those fucking demons, I know a guy you can call.
So I want to come back to something here. I'm going to go a little bit around. I want to come back to this idea of you.
Circle back.
Chris.
Traveling salesman.
Well, Chris, the missionary in China. So let's back up.
Oh, shit. We don't need to do that.
So
the almost missionary.
A couple of years ago, I was on a plane and I was next to, have you ever seen the Ragnar races, like stickers on people's cars? So it's a long distance race.
Okay.
So I was sitting, that was just starting to get going. And I was sitting on a plane heading back. I forgot where I was going from, but I knew we were landing in Salt Lake City. And then I was going to head off from there to the next place. And we're getting on there and it's just elders and sisters, just all the missionaries getting on their plane to come back back home to the promised land of Utah.
They've been there for months, so, 6-7 months at a time.
No, 2 years.
A week, 2 years.
It's a 2 year mission, then they come back.
Okay, so that's a solid mission.
So I'm sitting next to this guy, right? And this guy is I'm talking to him. He's like, "Yeah, I just went over here. We're getting a race established in Florida, blah, blah, blah." He's talking about the Ragnar race and all the cool stuff that goes with that event. And he told me about how he got into running events and how he's tried a volleyball business and like pretty cool, entrepreneurial, really fun, friendly guy. Then he turns to these Mormon missionaries. He's talking to them, blah, blah, blah. And he keeps turning to me. He's like, "Hey, isn't this crazy? This guy's was in a such and such country for 2 years, blah, blah, blah. Did you know they don't get to talk to their mom except for like once on Christmas? And I'm like, how do you think about this? Isn't that crazy?" And I listen to him and I'm like, yeah, I can imagine that. He didn't know this because he didn't ask me about my life.
Yeah.
He didn't know that I lived in China for 2 years.
Yeah.
Or that I only talked to my mom and I never talked for the whole year. We just sent, I think, a grand total of maybe 5 or 10 emails the whole time.
That's how I was communicating with his email.
Yeah. And so he was like, "Oh my gosh, could you imagine that?" And my answer is yes, I can. And I'm keeping my mouth shut. And then finally I turned to him like, "So where did you do your mission?" And then he went off on his mission. He was telling me all about his mission. I'm like, "Of course, like you're trying to bait me into a conversation. So I'll take your bait. Like,
right.
Let's cut to the chase. Let's talk about what you want to talk about," which is your experience within the Mormon church.
Yeah.
But that was,
anyway,
that would have been interesting. I like your sales pitch of, "You got demons?"
Yeah, just like, "You got demons? We got demons. Yeah."
I get those out. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
For this Tangent has been, Night.
Hopefully you got something out of this. And if anything, bring in the Mormons.
Yes, bring them in. Just talk to them. Just hang out.
Yeah.
Hang out. And check us out next time. We'll be... we'll be in Matthew.
We'll be in Matthew.
We'll see you in Matthew next time. @Beer and Bible Show on Instagram. Holler at us, and we'll catch you next time.